Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, Find Us Faithful.
Good morning. For those of you who don't know who I am Jeff Collins, the children's pastor here at Valley. Our lead pastor, Dave Burkham, is getting some, well, I pray he's getting it, some well-deserved and well-expected vacation time. So just, you have to put up with me, and I promise I will not speak shorter than Dave. I mean, longer than Dave. So, no, we are in a sermon series right now titled Find Us Faithful. This is our last week of it, our third week. For Christian stewardship and service. And Dave, I think he thought he was being kind and generous, but he kind of gave me a challenge because he gave me the week of faithful to our children. Okay, now I know there's a little bit of an issue here, and I just lost half of you. So stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to do a little experiment to see how this will work. If you have a young child at home right now, sit down. If you have a teenager at home, sit down. If you have a child at all, sit down. If you know a child, sit down. Look at that. Nobody's standing up. So the reality is all of us can be an influence on a child. So this sermon is for you. So don't think it has to be nap time. Dave has always said that a spiritual nap can be helpful. So I guess if you need it, go ahead. But I saw a couple looks out there. But the reality is this. Just because we're talking about being faithful to children doesn't mean if you don't have children that it's not your job. So I want to encourage you and challenge you to stay plugged in and to follow along. You know, thinking through how to talk about being faithful to our children, I came up with a text of Matthew 9. And the reality is that is the last text I want to look at today. But one of the first texts I want to look at today is about the story of Abraham and Isaac. And I want to challenge us to be faithful in our obedience to our children. And Abraham and Isaac is actually a pretty difficult story for some people. The story comes about when Abraham, who is a devout follower of God, God is talking to him and telling him, Abraham, I want you to go and I want you to sacrifice your son. You know, I'm not sure how well I would follow that one. That's a hard pill to swallow for me. I would think, okay, I'm just hearing voices. This really isn't God. But Abraham determined it was God's voice, and Abraham determined this is what God wants me to do. So he went out and he cut the wood. He collected two of his servants, and he got his son, and he said, you know, we're going to have a sacrifice. And so they started on their way. And that's where we pick up the text. In Genesis chapter 22, verses 6 through 12, it says this. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering. And actually, before this, the reality is they went on their trip and they got to the base of the mount where he was going to sacrifice his son. And they stayed there for 3 days. I wonder if it's because he wanted confirmation. I don't know. But when we get to this part of the text, it does go, Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, Father? Yes, my son, replied Abraham. The fire and the wood are here, Isaac said. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son. And the two of them went on together. The reality is, this probably was not the first time Isaac had seen a sacrifice. I really believe his father was obedient in this practice multiple times. And this isn't the first time. But you notice Isaac did know there's supposed to be an offering. At this point, he's not throwing a fit. I'm not sure if he does or not. I have a feeling he might. But the reality is this. Isaac is seeing Abraham obey God. If we continue on the text, it says this. This is as he gets up there. He puts his son on the altar. And I had never noticed a word before until I was looking at during this study. Abraham had to bind Isaac's arms. I don't think Isaac is very cooperative at this time. When you bind something, it's not just, oh, here's a little bow tie. Let's go on. It's to really hold you there. So Abraham goes to sacrifice his son, and he pulls up the knife, and then the text goes like this. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham! Here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld me from me, your son, your only son. The reality is, as a parent, as an adult, you know, I didn't have to get to this when I had you guys stand up, but my next statement was going to be this. If you know a Christian younger than you, you actually know a child of God. So you may be thinking, this doesn't apply to me, but I think it applies to all of us. And the reality is we need to be faithful in our obedience, even when it's tough. It's not the easiest thing. You know, I mentioned this in first service. I wonder, the text doesn't tell us, but I wonder if Isaac heard this same voice. I'm definitely not God, but I think when I'm asking his father Abraham to do something extremely difficult, and I go to stop him, I would want Abraham's son Isaac to know that God is the one asking him to do this, not that his dad's gone crazy. And I think it's a great example of obedience. And I think as parents, we have to realize our kids need to see that example of obedience, even when it's tough. The second thing I want to talk about is that we need to be faithful in our walk. You know, our walk, the way we live, is a lot more important in all reality than what we say. Because what we live and the way we walk and the way we focus our lives is the reality of what we believe. And the story I want to look at in this one is I want to look at the story actually of Jesus and after his birth with Mary and Joseph. Because Mary and Joseph are now given a little child to take care of. And there were customs during this time about purification. And that's where we get into the text. When the time came for the purification rites required by the law of Moses, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. Now I want to think about that for a second. There's a lot of you out there who have been moms. It's not that long after a child is born, according to custom, that you would have to go about the purification rites. I know my wife and I have 8 children, 5 of them who are biological and 3 adopted. And the reality is this. A lot of times after we have a child, you know what we feel like doing? Staying home. There's enough going on. I don't want to travel. But Mary and Joseph, their walk was about following God. Their life was about doing what God had asked them to do. And we see that here. And if we continue to read on, it talks about what actually happened. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or 2 young pigeons. So they're going to do the purification. And as you keep reading this, I find it interesting. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, so they're following what God is, they're living out what they believe. They returned to Galilee to their own town of Nazareth, and the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was on him. And I want to focus on the next passage. Every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. You notice that scripture doesn't say, when they felt like it, they went. on a journey. They traveled, probably by foot. They had to pack all their belongings and go to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover when it was convenient. No. The reality is, Mary and Joseph were faithful in their walk every year, not just for a short time. They did more than just talk. They did it. You know, a couple weeks ago, Dave mentioned the song Cats in the Cradle by Harry Chapin in a sermon. And this song kept coming back to me, and I know he mentioned it, but I had to bring it up again. And I wanted to read to you a few of the lines from this song. This song came about, and to give it a little bit of a summary, it's about a dad who is way too busy for his kids. And that's what he modeled. He modeled busyness in this song. And it says this, some of the first lines. This is from the boy. He'd say, "I'm going to be like you, Dad. You know I'm going to be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon, little boy blue and the man in the moon." And the boy would say this, "When you coming home, Dad?" And the dad's response in the song is this, "I don't know when, but we'll get together then." He's modeling busyness. You know, as the boy grows older, the dad keeps doing the same thing. You can see it from games. You can see it to when the boy wants a car. And eventually in the song, the dad gets old enough for retirement. And the song says, "I've long since retired. My son's moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, 'Son, I'd like to see you if you don't mind.' Guess what the son's response was? He said this, 'I'd love to, Dad, if I can find the time.'" And the dad says, "He'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me." If we like it or not, our kids grow up to be like us. Some of us are going, "Oh no." I think of my parents. I think of the things that, you know, my parents, that we did. What was our life about as a kid? The biggest memory of my childhood that I probably remember, it happened every year. Spring break. We went to the lake, we went camping, and we went fishing. Every year. You know, I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I knew who God was. But for my family, if I look back and I go, what did my family stand for? We like to go have fun at the lake. We like to go hunting. We like to go fishing. That's what it was. Do I like those still? Yes. Is that what I want my kids to remember as they grow up? Maybe a little bit of it. But I also want them to remember of what I believed and the way I walked my life and the way it was faithful. Now, one thing Dave didn't mention when he brought up this song, and I found this actually as a quote from Ravi Zacharias, who you've probably heard Dave quote multiple times. In one of his books, he actually talked about talking to Harry Chapin's wife. And I didn't realize this, but his wife actually was the one that wrote the song. And one time his wife asked Harry, you've been really busy. When are you going to take time to see your kids?" And you know what he said? "After this busy summer." And ironically and tragically, that summer, he was in a car accident and died. The model he gave his kids was actually very ironic due to the song. You know, it's not possible to read or hear that postscript of Chapin's death and miss the larger point. Chapin knew something. It was that something was known. He even believed it. He was a strong Christian. And he even preached it. But the reality is he never lived it. Even with his own kids, he was so busy. His wife even pointed it out to him. You know, we must be faithful in that what we must do, what we say. It's a lot easier just to say something. But to actually walk that walk and to live it out is tough. You know, we need to be faithful in our obedience. We need to be faithful in our walk. We also need to be faithful in our service. And I want to hit another, you know, unique story about Eli and Samuel. You know, if we back up before Samuel was with Eli, you kind of get the background of the uniqueness of this. And Eli's mom is Hannah. Hannah was married to Elkanah, and he also had another wife who had children. But Hannah had no children. And it was really difficult on her. So Hannah went to the house of God one day, and she just cried out and poured out her heart to God and just asked him for children. Eli, the priest that was there, actually saw her doing this. But the strange part about it for him, he could see her mouth moving, but heard nothing from her. He actually thought and even went to her and said, "What are you doing here? Why are you drunk?" And she explained to him, "I'm not drunk. I'm heartbroken. I want a child so bad that I'm just crying out to God." And Eli sent her in peace, said, "Go." And she did. And after she left, and the next day they worshiped, she became pregnant. And that's where we pick up in our text today about being faithful in our service. When her husband Elkanah went up with all of the family to offer the annual sacrifice to the Lord and to fulfill his vow, here we go again, annual. He's walking the walk. Hannah did not go. She said to her husband, "After the boy is weaned, I will take him and present him before the Lord, and he will be there always." So Hannah's not going because she has a child who's nursing. And she's saying, as soon as he's done nursing and I wean him, I will take him to live at the house of God. Her husband says, "Do what seems best to you. Stay here until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord make good his word." And you're probably sitting there going, what does this have to do about service? Well, let's look at as it goes on. After he was weaned, she took the boy with her and brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. When the bull had been sacrificed, they brought the boy to Eli. The man who dismissed her and said she would have children is the man that she brings her son Samuel back to. And she said to him, "Pardon me, my Lord. As surely as I live, I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. I prayed for this child, and the Lord has granted me what I've asked him. So now I give him to the Lord. For his whole life he will be given over to the Lord," and he worshiped the Lord there. She leaves her son with Eli. That doesn't sound too strange. It's happened before in history. We see that happen. But it is a little unique when you know Eli's background. Eli is a father. He's at the house of the Lord. His children are grown. And they both have gone away from the faith. Now, let me ask you. You're raising your kids to follow Christ, and you take your little child to a man who has not been a successful parent. Do you think Eli signed up to do this? I don't think so. I don't think Eli signed up. I think he was trying to do what God wanted him to do. But the thought of raising another child after he's failed twice, maybe he would want a do-over. I don't know that I would want it as an old man. But he takes in Samuel and raises him to follow God. That's quite the example of being faithful in your service. Faithful in your service to raise another child to follow God. That's pretty extreme. You know, that's one of the greatest examples of servanthood that I can think of in the Bible. But one thing that got me as I went through this, and I want to get to our last text, and that is Matthew 19. We're talking about being faithful to our children. And this is when Jesus has been healing a lot of people. And the disciples are around him, And the verse says this, the people brought little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for him. But the disciples rebuked them. You think the disciples are trying to do something wrong at this point? I don't think so. I think they're saying, hey, wait, don't bring your children. Really good stuff is going on up here. Jesus is doing some amazing stuff with these people. You need to, no, keep them back. But Jesus says to them, let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. You know, looking at this passage and looking at as a parent, as a children's pastor, as a teacher of some of your kids, it hit me and I started thinking, what things am I doing with good intentions that are hindering children, that are hindering teens, that are hindering new Christians from having a stronger walk with Christ? I might have really good intentions of what I'm doing with it, but am I really hindering somebody from getting closer because of something I'm doing or the way I'm interpreting something? I think the disciples had good intentions. I think the disciples were trying to allow a really good thing to happen. And Jesus says, no, let them come. They will inherit the kingdom of God. You know, it's challenging to be faithful to our children. It's challenging to be faithful in obedience for our children, to model that, to walk that walk. You know, I'm not asking everybody in this room to teach children. If God's telling you to, I'd say, listen. But the reality is, it might be that you need to be with teens, to serve with teens. It might be that you need to help somebody that is a single mom, to serve them. There's all kinds of limitless things that if we consider being faithful to our children in service, that we need to do. To close out, I want to look at three things. You know, the Christian church, I typically am not on stage preaching a sermon. I'm typically in a classroom teaching a lesson to kids. And I've seen over the years how good the Christian church is giving this great, oh, that's a great Bible principle. Man, that was awesome. Never thought of it that way. And then we walk out the door and we go, but what's that mean to me? And that's what I want to close out is these three things. First of all, we need to model our faith in Jesus in our own lives. I don't know how, but kids especially, but people in general, they know when you're faking it. So just to say something or to come to church and to go, yep, I'm a Christian, I came to church today, and walk out and live a different life, that's not what God's asking us to do. He wants us to model our faith in Jesus, to really show it. You know, the second thing we need to do is we need to model obedience even in difficult situations. Let's not tell people one thing and do another. You know, every time I've modeled obedience in a difficult situation, greater things have happened. A great example of this for my wife and I is about 7 years ago, we adopted a little girl from Ethiopia. And 5 months afterwards, we were looking at a newsletter from our adoption agency, and we saw two more kids. Our plate was full. We had no clue what God had in store for us. And I was in the office one day, just praying and doing some stuff, and I really felt God, let's just say, yelling at me. You're supposed to be their parents. And I thought, okay, God, I'm going to go home and I'll tell Margaret and she's going to tell me no. Whew. So I get home that evening and I walk in the door and Margaret meets me and she says, Jeff, I think we're supposed to adopt them. And I said, okay. And she looked at me and I will quote her, you were supposed to say no. And I said to her, it's okay. You know, we just adopted Mitake. The reality is the agency will never let us do it. We're breaking every rule that they have. So they'll tell us no. So the next day I called the agency and said, hey, we noticed these kids are on a waiting list. We'd really like to look at their file. Can we do that? And I'm waiting. Yeah, we know you guys. Sure, you can look at the file. You were supposed to say no. A year to the date, practically, from adopting our first child, we adopted two more. In 1 year's time, our adoption expenses were more than we made in 1 year. And God provided. Modeling obedience in difficult situations makes a huge impact on your kids. You may not want to do it, but the reality is the blessings you get out of it and the growth that you have spiritually is almost immeasurable. You know, the last thing we need to do is we need to serve others in ways that help them grow. And I say others instead of children because the reality is it may be teaching kids or it may be mentoring youth. It may be supporting single parents or it may be supporting those in poor health. I could go on and on and on for hours and hours giving options of service. You know, one of the greatest ways to serve others and to model it for children is to bring children alongside of you to do it with. I know a number of families who go to Feed My Starving Children and model service with their children because the impact it has on them. I know families here at Valley right now who serve and teach a class and their kids help them. I want to challenge you that as you leave today that you think of these three ways. There are numerous more that we need to do to model our faith in Jesus, to model obedience even in difficult situations, and we need to serve others in the way that we go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your Son. Thank you for the example of love and sacrifice. God, you have given many of us in this room children. You have given all of us in this room the ability to impact children. Father, help us to be faithful as we serve children that you love dearly. It's in your name we pray. Amen. May God be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note through our website, valleycc.org.